Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the show live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. So glad to have you with us. We've got lots to talk about, lots to break down, and even some audio you'll hear directly from Archie Miller and some players in this show today. And thank you so much for being with us. IU Media Day yesterday afternoon. I got a chance to listen in to Archie Miller. I think it was about 35, 40 minutes or so. His opening statement. He took a lot of questions from different media and reporters across the state. And then you got a chance to, we got a chance to hear from some of the players. They broke them up two at a time in about 10 to 15 minute sessions. And so we'll hear from some players. I think some of the most talked about and excited players you might want to hear from, we'll hear from today. That would be Trace Jackson Davis, but first we'll hear from Christian Lander later in the program. So Archie, Christian Lander, Trace Jackson Davis, you're going to get a chance here in this hour to hear some of their comments and some of their answers to questions from IU Basketball Media Day yesterday. Let's take a quick look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one. In place of our Zaxby's headlines, we have Archie Miller. Again, he spoke for about, I don't know, with questions and everything, 35 minutes. We'll have 20 or so minutes of that starting here in just a moment. We're going to let you hear what he had to say to start things off and some of the questions as well. Now, keep in mind, this year it was done via Zoom, so it may have kind of a, a computer-type sound to it at times, but I think it's quality that you'll be able to hear everything asked and also everything that Archie has to say. Later in the show, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, he's going to join us to break down some of the top takeaways from IU Basketball Media Day yesterday. That will happen in Segment 2. And then we'll close the show today, Segment 3, with Christian Lander and Trace Jackson Davis. We'll give you some opportunity to hear from them yesterday in our final segment as we wrap up the show. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by and check out their dinner package deals that are available. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and also curbside service. It's still available at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our opening segment presented by Zaxby's. Archie Miller yesterday, just a real quick, this is my summary of some of the things that I took away from it from yesterday, from what he had to say. But clearly, if Trace Jackson Davis was going to return to Indiana for his sophomore year after the great freshman season he had, he is going to be expected to have an increased level of what he brings to the team. And Archie Miller made that clear yesterday that Trace Jackson Davis, when they had that discussion about would he return to Indiana, he said, if you're going to come back for a freshman year, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he needed to step his game up even more. And so that tells you the confidence, also the touches and opportunities that Trace is going to get this season for this Indiana team. I loved hearing Archie talk about Jerome Hunter and how he knows that he has the opportunity, the talent to be a breakout player. I think we've probably talked as much about Jerome on this show as we have any IU player. Probably him, Christian Lander, and Trace Jackson Davis have taken the cake as far as who we've talked about most this offseason. But it's nice to hear it come from the head coach and what his expectations are, because he's the guy in the workouts, in the gym with these guys. And so that was something else that I took away. Also, Archie said yesterday that as of now, if we're trying to build this non-conference schedule in our mind until it officially gets released by the school, right now the Crossroads Classic is still set for December 9th. I believe Indiana would be due to play Butler in that event this season. So maybe we learned a little bit more about the schedule yesterday. But Archie covers a lot of ground, and we're going to give you those comments. I believe they're ready for you right now.
Well, good to see everybody in a unique way to start the season. We're excited, a lot like probably everybody, to get the official start, like everybody else in college basketball, going. And we've been anxious, probably like a lot of people, to get back together and have, you know, real purpose in front of us, you know, for the most part. You know, we're still working through a lot of uncertainty in terms of scheduling and events, and there's a lot of unanswered questions. But the fact that our guys are going to be together and we're you know, getting ready to take on this climb, you know, to me, that's what it's all about. And, you know, I know our players are excited to get back to the everyday business with each other. They've been at their best when they're with each other. And I think that, you know, being able to handle this with this group this year is going to be something that we'll remember for a long time, just due to the circumstances that we're all under. So,
Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. Now.
Further ado, I guess we'll just open it up, and if I can help you guys with anything, I'll do it.
Okay, Zach, you got first question.
Coach, how we doing? Appreciate the time. I know there's probably, this is one of those things that is evolving a lot for everybody, but just as you do kind of gear up for a preseason, given the season's going to look different, the schedule's going to look different, you know, maybe fewer non-conference games, maybe thrown into the fire a little bit quicker in some cases. I guess, how important is it for you that you've got a team that's fairly experienced? Now, I know you've got, you know, some young guys you'll be looking to kind of step up, but that you have, you know, a fair bit of experience returning back, just knowing that, you know, basically season starts and 5 days in, you're in the Maui Invitational as an example. I imagine not long after that ACC Big Ten Challenge, that the season's just going to kind of start at 85 miles an hour. How important is that experience going to be?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of different types of teams out there. There's teams with a lot of newcomers. There's teams with a lot of veterans. How you handle, you know, what's thrown at you, you know, really comes down to your leadership. I think that we've had some guys here that have been a part of a lot of big games. There's been a lot of, you know, college basketball experience. They know what it feels like. So to have that at your disposal as a coach, you hope that you know, that plays a role in a positive way. With that being said, though, every team is different. And at the end of the day, winning and losing, playing minutes, making shots and missing shots all plays a role in how you evolve. But if by any indication, how the season ended a year ago, how our guys have handled themselves away, how we've handled ourselves when we first got started back, and then as the school year has, you know, unraveled in front of us, week by week, how we've handled our business gives me a pretty good indication that our team is about the right things. We do have good leadership. Our young players are here for the right reasons, and improvement has been on the forefront of everyone's mind at all stages of the time from the end of the year until right now. Now we have to put that together. We have to be about, you know, always the team approach, and defining roles and getting all that stuff sort of laid out to be at our best early. Because I think, you know, as you alluded to, Zach, we're unsure right now that the schedule that we put forth, you know, in April, that was built for a very specific reason, built around certain games that you know you have.
You know, as I got, you know, close to my teen year,
it's constantly changing, still changing to this minute. And, what we have to do is be ready on November 25th to jump ball. And I think that's the most important thing. Take away the things you can't control. Eliminate the things that distract you from the thing that is the most important, which is, at the end of the day, how much better are we going to be right now than we were, you know, a year ago when we finished as individuals and as a group? And how much different can we be from right now to the 25th when we jump ball? There's a lot of challenges that go into that, with the lack of preseason, lack of non-conference, and lack of what I would call, you know, exhibition type opportunities. So it's a little bit unique. I mean, you're going to start it up and it's going to get revved up from day one. and you're going to have to mow through it with a lot of different type of speed bumps along the way that are coming that we don't see and probably anticipate happening. But at the end of the day, you know, really, we have to be on a quest to be ready for the first day on November 25th. When that happens, we have to take inventory day by day and keep building. And you know what? We're on to the next one, whether that's Maui event move to Asheville, whether that's coming out of that and heading on the road to an ACC challenge game. Very few, maybe, home opportunities available in general. We don't know, quite frankly, how it's set in stone, but we do know that on the 25th, we have to be the most ready team for us. And I think that's the quest. And as we talk to our guys through the entire preseason and through the entire here rest of October heading into November, that's what it's about. It's about just preparing and getting ready and staying hungry for that one opportunity that when they say, you know, go, you know, you can go, that we're ready to go. And that's been our focus, I think, from day one. That's where we've really hung our hat, is the everyday approach. And I think our players have done a good job just hanging in there with it. And I like where we're at as we get ready to start here tomorrow.
Okay, John Blau.
A specific question about Jerome Hunter. Obviously, he's a guy that you guys had to be cautious with kind of building up last season. Obviously was able to play more and be effective late last season. As he went to the offseason, it's obviously an unconventional offseason. How do you feel like he handled that? And kind of, is he kind of unchained at this point? Do you feel like you guys are kind of past some of the issues that were you kind of had to be cautious with before?
Yeah, let me say this about Jerome. You know, Jerome had, you know, a well-documented season-ending injury as a freshman. And in a unique way, that injury and that you know, setback that he had was different in a lot of ways. It was much along the lines of, you know, therapy, recovery, trial and error, what can he do, what can he do. And I think as we went into last year, we had our fingers crossed and we were really hoping Jerome would have that opportunity to get back on the floor. And I think once he established that he was going to be, you know, available every day, working hard at it every day, then it became the reality of this guy's a true freshman. Not only is he a true freshman on the floor with experience, he's been out a significant amount of time from the game. And as an athlete, he's been out, you know, just competing and doing things. He had a tough recovery. And with the team that we had a year ago, you know, you fended for yourself a little bit. You tried to work your way in there. You tried to take advantage of your opportunities when you did get an opportunity to get in. And he did that. But I thought right around January, you know, we were at a crossroads a little bit just in trying to figure out what we can get out the best of Jerome. And I think the Ohio State game at home was an opportunity for him to grab a hold of more minutes. Once he did that, he showed that he wasn't afraid. He was tough. And, you know, if he could just stay with it over the course of the next so many months, he could help our team. And I think that's what you saw. You saw a young guy in a very difficult league grow up and try to get better every day. And towards the end of the year, he shot the ball much more consistently from three. You know, I think defensively, he was a work in progress all year long, but his intentions and his effort was always good. And he made big plays for us at times when we needed him. So from a confidence perspective, he finished the year on a high, almost as a sense of relief, like, wow, I did it. You know, I got through it. And now it's become, all right, now I'm ready to take a bite out of the apple a little bit bigger. And I think that's where he's at. Talked a lot about his ball handling, talked a lot about his physical conditioning and continuing to rehabilitate his body from the time off that he had. He's got to be bigger and stronger in ways. And talked to him very, very early on this spring about having to handle more of a load and learn more in terms of being able to play inside and out. He embraced that. And since he's been back, he's back to sort of being the old Jerome of loves the game, has a smile on his face, competes, messes up, looks at you. Yes, sir, coach. And he moves on to the next thing. That's the thing you love about him is that he loves the game. He's a good, good team guy. He's a guy that, as a coach, you enjoy being around in the heat of the moment, so to speak, because he's giving great effort. Right now, he's really heading in a good direction. Like all of our players, you know, you're ready for another speed bump. And I think we always have in the back of our mind that, you know, Jerome's health is paramount for us. But he's going to play a big role on this team. He has to play a big role. He has to grow up as what I would call a second-year player. And he's got to be much more of a consistent shooter. He's got to be much more of a consistent defender for us. But without question, I think he's going to be able to give us the versatility to play small or big and be better at it than he was a year ago. And, you know, I think he has confidence that he's out there every day right now, that he feels like a good basketball player again, not a player that's learning how to be a good basketball player.
And again, that's Archie Miller from IU's Media Day yesterday. We've got more audio coming later in the show. I wanted to get you as much of Archie as we could in this opening segment, because later we'll have Christian Lander and Trace Jackson Davis and what they had to say yesterday. As we head to a break, a couple notes I do want to pass along, recruiting notes. Bryce Hopkins has set an announcement date for when he's going to make his decision coming up in the near future. And he's going to, initially he had said that he would announce in the next week or two. I think maybe October 20th had been a date that had been mentioned, but he says that it's coming up within the next week or two. Indiana, obviously a school that's been very involved with him, is in his top five, as well Kentucky, Illinois, Providence, and Michigan, as well as Indiana. They make up his final five. So there is a recruiting update on Bryce Hopkins. And Jalen Hooks, he's a young player, class of 2023, so a sophomore at Crispus Attucks High School in Indianapolis. We've been talking about some younger players in the state here recently, and he just got a scholarship offer yesterday from Xavier. So he adds a big one to the list of schools recruiting him and those that are starting to get involved and offer him a scholarship. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and recap some of the takeaways from IU Media Day yesterday with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
IU Basketball Media Day yesterday. You just heard from Archie Miller some of the highlights of his 35 minutes or so he spent with the media on a virtual Zoom chat yesterday. And joining us right now is Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com to talk about some of the key takeaways that he had from yesterday as we begin to really think about the upcoming college hoop season, which is set to begin on November 25th. Jeff, there's a lot to cram in here, and I want to get your thoughts. But one thing I did not talk about in the first segment, and I don't believe any of the comments we played from Coach Miller mentioned or highlighted this, but Coach Miller spent some time yesterday in his address, in his answering questions, talking about lineups for this year. And maybe there could be some smaller, faster lineups, maybe three guards on the floor at the same time for the Hoosiers this year.
Yeah, Matt, I don't think there's any question that there's going to be three guard lineups at some point in time. I don't think it's set in stone that that's starters or anything like that. But the idea of using three guard lineups is something that, in my opinion, is you know, almost certainly going to happen, barring the unforeseen. And one of the reasons is that they like the guards that they have, and I think they've got guards who can. Got guards, you know, who can make plays, who can get out in the open court a little bit, and can spread the floor. And one of the other things that's in play here is, you know, Christian Lander has incredible vision at speed. You know, it's one thing to be able to see an open teammate make a play throwing the ball. It's another thing to be able to be playing, you know, very fast and be able to see things and know how to move the second defender with the dribble to set up the pass and deliver the ball. And Lander can do all of those things. So you have a guy who can do those things. They're going to put him in some screen, ball screen situations, some pick and rolls, some pick and pops. Certainly with the way Trace Jackson Davis has shot the ball this season in workouts that I've seen, I certainly anticipate the, you know, ball screens with Trace and Christian. But when you have a guy who can do those kind of things, well, what you want to do is try to create as much space for him as possible. You know, space is a shooter's best friend. So if you have somebody who can create space, put players out in space and don't initially create congestion on purpose. So I think there's going to be some three-guard lineups. And I think there's even a chance they go three guards and maybe, you know, Jerome Hunter. And say maybe depending upon the situation, if you need who you need inside, maybe Trace Jackson Davis to try to really go on a scoring run. Maybe if you're playing against a team that's got kind of an old school stout big in there, maybe go Joey Brunk to, you know, to have a post banger, you know, really stout guy. But I think there's a chance that there are some three guard lineups and some smaller lineups, and I think they're going to play a lot more ball screen. I think you're going to see Christian Lander be given some freedom. And the other thing is, I think, you know, Rob Dennessy's healthy. And Rob Dennessy understands last year was not up to his own standards. So I think sometimes it's just natural when there's something new, whatever is new gets discussed the most, which is understandable because Christian Lander is very good. He's going to have impact. But I think sometimes Rob Dennessy kind of gets forgotten about a little bit. Like, you know, you think back to his freshman year and say, okay, take that and improve it instead of sort of being stagnant. He was kind of stagnant last year, you know, had the abdominal issues, some other things. But I think you've got another guy who can really initiate offense. So they've got multiple guys who know how to initiate offense, multiple guys who can create situations for others, scoring situations for others. That's why I think you're going to see smaller lineups, you're going to see a lot of ball screens, and you're going to see faster at times.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. We're recapping some of the takeaways from IU Basketball Media Day, which took place yesterday afternoon. You know, we've talked about Jerome Hunter a lot. You've written about him a lot on the Pigs.com website. I think general fans expect that if he's healthy, if he's back to 100%, that he could really be a factor for this team, for this program, as we thought he could when he committed to Indiana his senior year in high school. It was nice yesterday to hear Archie Miller address him specifically, and pulling a quote out from yesterday, he said, quote, "He's back to being the old Jerome." And I remember the old Jerome. You remember the old Jerome coming out of high school that had NBA potential. Maybe not after 1 year like Romeo, but was someone that was a big get at that time for Indiana. It's nice to hear that he has progressed and he's expected now to have the role maybe that we all thought he would at some point during his time at Indiana.
Yeah, he's the kind of player who has the skills that can impact winning at the Big Ten level. You know, he was just okay for most of last year. And Archie Miller does make a good point. You know, he redshirted, but he was in a redshirt situation where because of, you know, the condition that he had, the leg condition, he couldn't practice, he couldn't do walkthroughs, he couldn't do anything. So even though last year he was a, quote, redshirt freshman on paper, he was a true freshman in terms of basketball. He hadn't gone through practices. He hadn't gone through traveling, just everything you got to do. And the first time you do it, most players, you know, it is just a learning adjustment. And I think everybody saw as the season moved on, he really improved, you know. And then you have the Ohio State game where it's like, ooh, okay, that's a guy who can play in the Big Ten. And then he follows it up with a couple more games. You know, he didn't shoot all that well from three during the season, you know, right at 30%, but he averaged more than a make per game over the last 10 games. You've got a 6'7" forward out there averaging more than a three per game, shooting a decent percentage, who can also get up and down the floor, who plays with some freedom when he's playing confident. You know, then you've got somebody, I think, who can have impact. And that's what you have in Jerome now, is you have somebody who's just playing with more confidence, just feels like, okay, yeah, I belong out there. Yeah, I understand what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think that's kind of what you're going to see. Is he going to go out there and get you multiple threes every game? No. Is he going to go out there and get you, you know, double figure scoring every night. I don't know about every night, but he's definitely more in that vein now. So he's one of the players you look at and you say, okay, who do you expect to make a jump? You know, I Jerome Hunter certainly on my list.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns, recapping some of the takeaways from IU Basketball Media Day. Keep in mind, in the next segment, we're going to play back some of the audio from Christian Lander, followed by Trace Jackson Davis. And we got to talk about TJD, Jeff, for next year. We obviously know he's back. We know the freshman year that he had last season. And the expectations obviously grow as he stays at Indiana for his sophomore season. Trace, Archie, both in their comments yesterday, made it known that he has some big expectations riding on his shoulders for this team this year, as you would think a player of his talent and that had the freshman year he did last year should.
Yeah, when Archie Miller and Trace Jackson Davis talked in March, when Trace was trying to decide, you know, do I go to the NBA now or do I go back to college for another year, Archie straight up told him, you know, if you come back, you need to be prepared to play at an All-American level. That's what you're capable of. That's what your team needs. That's what you need to aim for. And Trace basically looked his coach in the eye and said, all right, let's go. And that was that. I mean, he is going to need to be really good, but I think he can be really good. I certainly think he is one of the kind of players because of his skill, because of his athleticism, his ability to run the floor at 6'9". He does have some traits that really can be accentuated, and I think he's going to have an outstanding year. And I do also think this. He does need to truly improve. And here's the reason why. You know, when you kind of have a really good season in the Big Ten, what do Big Ten assistant coaches spend part of their summer doing? Scouting all their opponents. You know, they sit down and they will pour through film and go through it and go through it and go through it and make sure that, okay, you know, especially if somebody killed us last year, us being whoever the assistant coach is, they're going to go just dive into that player's game and try to figure out what do we do next year because I don't want him to kill us again. And I talked to a couple different Big Ten assistants this year, and they were like, Trace ain't killing us again this year. We're going to be ready. We are going to sit on his left hand. We're going to make that kid score with his right hand. We're not letting him beat us down the court, et cetera, et cetera. So he's going to have to be better just to produce similar numbers. And that's not unusual, especially in the Big Ten, but I think that sometimes gets overlooked. If a player's numbers are even similar, sometimes there's a tendency to think, well, gosh, you know, he averaged 13 points last year, averaged 15 this year, didn't really improve. Reality is, sometimes guys really, really improve. Like Cody Zeller, freshman year to sophomore year, you talk to NBA guys, they will tell you how much improvement he made. Juwan Morgan, junior year to senior year, similar things. So Trace Jackson Davis actually has to be a better player, and I think he's going to be a better player. Going back to some workouts that I saw, I think he's going to be able to make shots. I take that back. I think he's going to make shots. He does have the ability to make shots. I've seen it. I've seen it in time situations, other things. He can make shots. He can make elbow jumpers. He can make baseline jumpers. He can actually shoot out to the three. Now, whether or not you want your athletic 6'9 big man shooting threes or not, you know, that's going to be up to the coaches to make that call. But he can shoot, and I think he's going to make some shots, and he doesn't have to make a ton to bring a defense out even one more step, which gives him more points, gives him more driving opportunities. And if you're doing some pick-and-roll type stuff with him and Finney or him and Lander, you know, then things really, really start to open up. So I think he's going to do that. He can score with his right hand. He's getting confident with his right hand. It was never really that he couldn't score with his right hand. It was one of those things where, okay, they can't stop my left hand, so why do I have to go away from it? Well, you know, you get to high-major college basketball. Things change a little bit, especially when you go into year two. So I think you're going to see more, you know, elbow, baseline jumpers. Again, not a ton, but just enough to pull the defense out, to create more lanes. I think you're going to see more of a right hand. And I think you're going to see IU use him in some positions and kind of move him and run him off Joey Brunk, off Race Thompson, do some small little NBA-ish kind of things as far as when you're going against a man-to-man, where you put guys, some little rub things and stuff like that. So I think Trace can be an All-American this year, but I think it's going to take him playing at an improved level. And based on what I saw over the summer in workouts, I think he can be an All-American.
All right, Rabbi, you've been around this stuff for a long time. You've been to many media days at IU for men's basketball. This one clearly was a little different. First off, it was virtual. And secondly, we really don't know the schedule yet. And the season is supposed to start in a month and a half as far as games. In fact, today, I'm not sure I've even said this yet on the show today, but today's the first official day of college basketball practices across the country. You can actually have full-fledged practices beginning today. Other takeaways from yesterday, maybe they had something to do with the time we're currently in with the pandemic or the lack of a schedule, or maybe it was something about another player that we haven't specifically talked about. But give us some other Rabbi takeaways from yesterday.
Let's see. Rob Dennessy sounded healthy, sounded confident, says he's healthy. I don't think he can sound healthy. That was a silly comment on my part. says he's healthy, sounded confident, so that's good. IU needs him to be both because I think not only was he not healthy at times last year, I think not being healthy sapped some of his confidence. So he sounded confident, says he's healthy. That definitely matters. I think as you look at the freshman, certainly Christian Lander being a five-star point guard, he's going to play. I get the sneaking suspicion Trey Galloway's really nipping at the heels of some guys to get some minutes. I don't mean a ton, but I mean, you know, three, four, five, six here and there, especially if you want to throw somebody out there defensively for a few possessions and say, hey, Matt Dennison's scoring. Galloway, why don't you get your tail out there? Why don't you do something about that for a couple possessions before the next TV timeout, huh? All right. I think Galloway's nipping at the heels of a chance to play some. Armon Franklin really worked on his three-point shot last year. He shot nearly 40% as a senior at Cathedral, but only shot 28.6% last year as a freshman. So obviously that needs to come up, but he sounded confident that it could come up. Race Thompson, the way he spent a lot of time this summer working on his jump shot certainly suggests that he's going to be in some pick and pops, pick and rolls, or at least be out there in certain spots to hit some shots. So I think where Race Thompson shoots, where Race Thompson's comfortable shooting, is going to be something to kind of keep an eye on throughout the first 6, 8, 10, 12 games, something like that. Let's see. Yeah, I think those are probably the main things at this point in time that I would say, kind of jump out the most. And I think, and the other thing was, and then this was a really big thing for the folks, other who hardcore like to dial in a little bit. One of the big things of how they're going to play, how they want to play, assists have to go up, turnovers have to go down. Sometimes that's a natural function of an offense. Sometimes it's a natural function of better ball handlers. But sometimes it's also a function of what you emphasize. You coach, you're around coaches, there's what you practice and what you emphasize.
Sure.
And a big point of emphasis is going to be take care of the daggum ball. And even though they're going to be playing faster at times, it's still going to be a really big point of emphasis not to have wasted possessions, to really pull that turnover rate down and have the assist rate go up. So, and obviously the assist rate goes up as well when guys make shots. You drive into the lane, pull the second defender towards you, perfect kick out of the corner, guy catches it, one dribble, shoots it. If he makes it, you got the assist. Doesn't, well, okay, you made a great basketball play, but there's nothing statistically occurred. You make two more shots per half, and think about that. That's four more assists. The assist turnover ratio changes, sometimes with better passing, but sometimes with better shot making. But I do think that's something to keep an eye on over the first 10 games or so as well. What does the assist total look like? What does the turnover total look like? And then what do the ratios look like? If they get their turnover percentage down, I would say below 15%, which is asking, that's asking a lot. But if they get it down around there, then they've really got something to work in this year.
Jeff Rabjohn, Spiegs.com. I want to close with a couple quick hitting recruiting questions for you. Any update, any feeling, anything at all on Trey Kaufman?
I mean, it's still kind of – I think the main schools are still the main schools. Indiana, Virginia, Purdue, North Carolina.
Those are the main schools. Indiana State's also there in his final five. Obviously, I think everybody knows his Uncle Matt ran to Indiana State, so there's a family connection there. He's reached the point there's a possibility of a fall decision, you know, and it's not a guarantee. It's not a set stone deal, but it's definitely a possibility. As far as where things stand, you know, I mean, there's things he likes about each of his main schools. But if I was coaching at Indiana, I would not trade positions with anybody else right now. That's not a prediction of where it's going to go. I'm just telling you where the lay of the land is right now. At the end of the day, there are a lot of factors that make Indiana really, really hard to beat. So that's where that thing stands right now.
Jeff Rabjohn's final question, Bryce Hopkins. I mentioned this earlier in the show today. He is set to make a decision in the next week or two. Indiana is in his final five, which he's going to choose from. Any feeling on him at all either? I know Kentucky has been kind of rumored as the big favorite since he decommitted from Louisville earlier. Does Indiana have a chance to compete with the Wildcats for Bryce Hopkins?
Yeah, Indiana does have a chance. He's set to talk to a number of schools this week, and Indiana is one of those schools. And if you're not interested in the school coming down to announcement time, you're not spending time on the phone with them. So, yeah, Indiana does have a chance. Now, do I think Indiana is the leader or the favorite? No, I do not. I think people need to pay attention to Kentucky and Providence and Indiana and, to some degree, Illinois. That's not an order or anything. That's just those are schools you need to keep in mind. And some people have said, Providence, what the heck? Providence, how does kids from Chicago get Illinois, get Indiana, get Kentucky, Providence? I'm just telling you, trust me on this one. Providence matters here. So we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, as it sits right now, Indiana does at least have a chance, yes. And he's really good. 6'7", national top 40 level, class of 2021 forward, completely reshaped his body over the last 14 months. He's a very talented prospect.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohn's Pigs.com. Lots of coverage there of IU basketball media day from yesterday. And, of course, there'll be tons of stuff as we draw even closer to the season. Jeff, it's always great to have you on. Great to catch up. Appreciate you spending some time with us today to talk about all the happenings yesterday afternoon.
My friend, always good talking to you, too. You stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohn's Pigs.com with us here on a Wednesday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we've got some more audio from yesterday. I think of all the players that spoke to the media, and it was most of them, I think you want to hear from Christian Lander and Trace Jackson Davis possibly the most. So that's what we're going to have for you in this next segment. Stay with us for that. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We'll close today's show with comments from Christian Lander, who is a freshman at Indiana, and, of course, Trace Jackson Davis, expected to be the star for this IU team once again this season. They spoke for about 13 minutes. They were the first two players available to the media yesterday. Again, this was another Zoom call, and they were together, so you'll hear them go back and forth. Some of the answers are addressed to both players, but we'll play that now and hear from two of the more intriguing players, one in Trace, who's back and expected to have possibly even a better year than what he had last year, potentially headed to the NBA after this season, and another in Christian, a young freshman that should be a senior at Evansville Rights, but instead chose to reclassify, did a lot of work in the offseason in the spring and summer months to be able to go to Bloomington early, and there's a lot of expectations for him with this Indiana team, even as a freshman.
Trace, go ahead. So basically with our new offense, there's a lot of ball screening, but especially with him at the point, I can come up and set high ball screens and wing ball screens and stuff of that nature, and he can come up and make plays. He's doing really well already for a freshman to be able to make plays off the dribble. So,
yeah, I agree with what Chase said. Our offense right now is just a whole lot of ball screens and side ball screens and stuff like that. So I feel like we keep repping that out, I feel like we'll be good.
Okay, Rick Bozich.
Yeah, guys. Coach Miller seems to be very bullish, very optimistic, very confident in this team. What do you think he sees, or what have you shown him that you think is contributing to this confidence so far?
I think just everyone from down to the freshmen all the way up to the seniors, everyone likes each other. That's a big part. We all work hard and we hold each other accountable every day. Like last year, I remember there were times where Saturdays we could open and shoot. If you weren't in the gym, it was like common. Then this year, if you're not in the gym on Saturday, it's weird. So like, it's just a different vibe this year. It's like everyone's ready to go, especially with an unfinished season last year.
Okay.
I agree with him. I feel like if we, as long as we hold each other accountable, I feel like we're real close on and off the court. So I feel like the off the court helps us with our on court.
Okay, Alec Lastly.
This is for you, Christian. We heard earlier this summer a little bit from Rob and kind of how your skill set would really help him on the offensive end. You know, how do you think you guys are going to play together, both, you know, one of you guys on the ball, off the ball, and how do you think your skill sets are going to translate together on the floor?
I feel like we'll play very well together. I feel like both of us can play on ball and off ball, so I feel like we can play off each other very well.
Okay, Bob Kravitz.
Yeah, thank you, JD. Trace, question for you. You talked about the unfinished season. I wonder if you could go back for a minute to March 11th and talk a little bit about what those minutes and hours after the win over Nebraska were like when you found out what was going on, and how did you guys handle that? How did you process it?
Really with the whole COVID-19, it was kind of hard to process because we didn't really know much about it at the time. But after the season got canceled, I know me and all of my teammates were devastated because we thought we had a really good shot at making the tournament. But it's just something you have to live with. I feel for Duran and Devontae not being able to play in a tournament, especially with one probably going to be able to this year. So we just got to play with a chip on our shoulder this year, just knowing that not taking anything for granted.
Just really quick as a follow-up, when exactly did you find out about Rudy Gobert, and were you in the locker room? Were you looking at your phone, or how did that all come about?
It really kind of was like a second thought almost, because after the game with Coach Hoiberg, he got sick, so we were all worried about him. And then we checked Twitter, and then we saw that me and Joey were roommates, and we saw that Rudy got it. So it was crazy, honestly.
Thanks.
Okay, Jim Coyle.
Hey, Christian, how you doing?
Good. How are you,
Christian? What, talk about the biggest difference for you in moving up. You moved up a class even to come up into college ball, but to move up from high school to college, the biggest differences for you. I know we always talk about the speed of the game and the strength and all that, but talk about making that difference while making the acclimatization of playing on this team.
I just feel like each and every day I'm getting stronger and getting the hang of the offense and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm a fast learner. So I feel like I'm gonna get the hang of stuff, and as long as I keep getting stronger, I'll be good.
Trace, if you wouldn't mind following up on that, playing with him as someone as young as he is, but he is someone that's obviously exceptional talent. What's it been like having someone that young come in, but having an impactful part on this team?
Most definitely. Him coming in was huge for us, especially just getting another guard. He's a really explosive guard. He has a really high IQ, especially for how young he is. and he's obviously the sky's the limit for him. He's just going to keep getting better every day, especially in the weight room with Cliff, just learning the new offense, learning how the college game is, and when the game slows down for him, he's going to be a really, really, really good player. So.
Okay, Mike Schumann.
Yeah, hi, Trace. You mentioned your perimeter shot this summer being a real point of emphasis for you. I was hoping you could give us an update on where you feel that is and if you feel like you'll have a green light from the coaching staff when it comes to taking three-pointers this year.
For me, it's really just been my confidence getting that build up. My coach has never told me not to shoot the ball. It's just been my confidence. So I've been gaining that over the offseason. So just being able to just keep getting high reps at it. And just keep expanding and expanding and expanding. So that's really what I've been working on. So hopefully by the time the season comes around, I'm ready to take those shots.
All right, again, that was Christian Lander and Trace Jackson Davis. You heard various questions from members of the media to them yesterday. They were the first two players paired together that had the opportunity to speak with the media at IU Men's Basketball Media Day. That's going to wrap up this Wednesday edition of our program. Back with you Thursday. We'll talk more about the upcoming season. I always feel like once Media Day happens, we are really on a quick turnaround to the first game, a little later than normal because obviously the season doesn't start until November 25th this year. But we're going to be busy between now and then because there's so much to learn still about this upcoming season. I think we have the team down. We know what to expect, and we know a lot of the players and who's expected to be key. But what we don't know is the schedule and some of the things that are a given at this point in time. And so we've got lots of announcements, I would think, coming up very soon about schedules for non-conference games and obviously what the Big Ten Conference is going to look like. And are there going to be additional early season bubbles that controlled environments where maybe Indiana will play multiple games? I think that we're getting closer, I would think, very close to finding out some of that stuff. So some interesting days ahead as we head to the start of this crazy 2020-21 college basketball season. Just glad we're playing, but it's going to be completely different and very interesting, I think, throughout. We'll be back with you Thursday. Alex Bozich will join. We'll also have some other guests as well. Thanks for being with us today. Don't forget to catch us as a podcast on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.